on the wall. It's 4 o'clock, so I think we'll call this session of the Board of Adjustment to order. Roll call vote, please.
McGill.
Here.
Scarlett.
Here.
Youngberg, absent. Brecky.
Here.
Neubauer.
Here.
Okay, thank you. In front of you, you have the agenda for this afternoon's meeting. Do I hear any changes to the agenda? Additions, subtractions? If not, I'd like a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Same sign. Motion carries. In front of you also are the minutes from our previous meeting. Do I hear any changes in the minutes? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Have a motion and second. All in favor of approving the minutes as presented, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay, also in front of you, we have the findings of fact from our previous meeting. Do I hear any changes, additions, comments on that? If not, again, I'll entertain a motion to approve the findings of fact.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Again, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Same sign. All right, just a little bit of a few comments here as we get started with our meeting. If you want to, would you please sign in so that we know who's in attendance? If you make any comments tonight to the podium, again, when you get up there, state your name and your address, so we've got that for the record. The way we're going to run this meeting is generally we'll open the floor up for any public comments that are on any of our cases other than what we are presenting this evening. Those will hold off until we get right down to the actual, as we go through that case. Based on that, like I said, I'll open it up. Do I hear any comments from anyone concerning anything that we've done in the past? Hearing none, we'll move on then to discussion on CUP01-19, FTC Tower Company Communication Tower. Emily.
Okay. So this is an application for a conditional use permit for a communications tower. The proposed location is in Lincoln Township, just east of the city of Zeering. The applicant, as you stated, is FTC Tower Company on behalf of Cover 2, FirstNet, and AT&T. The purpose of the proposed tower is the accommodation of the FirstNet system, which would provide adequate coverage in the area for the nationwide public safety broadband network. The tower will also offer co-location opportunities for up to two other carriers. So just a little bit about the FirstNet system. In the event of an emergency, the FirstNet equipment, which will be put on this tower, will give mobile LTE data and voice network priority to emergency service users. This will provide emergency response workers with voice and data for handheld smartphone devices, as well as for equipment that relies on data communication. In ambulances and other units. FirstNet is a nationwide network. All 50 U.S. states and territories have opted into this federally commissioned network. Cover 2 is a partnership of independent telephone companies and is the entity responsible for implementing the FirstNet system in the rural areas of Iowa. AT&T will own and maintain the FirstNet equipment, thereby also improving the AT&T cell coverage for customers in the area. So just a little bit about FirstNet versus the Iowa Statewide Interoperable Communication System tower that we approved. If you remember, it's on the north side of Highway 30 on the IDOT site. I just wanted to talk a little bit about that. So the Board of Adjustment did approve a conditional use permit for that tower. It was 395 feet on the Iowa Department of Transportation property on north side of Highway 30. This was to accommodate the Iowa Statewide Interoperable Communications System, which is a land mobile radio network, which provides like push-to-talk service in emergency events. It's also known as Mission Critical Voice. FirstNet will not replace this land mobile radio. Initially, the FirstNet system will allow for the transmission of data and video and other high-speed features, such as location information, streaming of videos, and then non-mission critical voice. They are looking to develop the mission critical voice as they move forward, but currently it will just be used for data, videos, streaming, those sorts of things. The land mobile radio network will be able to connect to the FirstNet devices that have been authenticated via an application. So there's can be applications that can be downloaded to these devices, so the emergency response users can use both. There's more information on the FirstNet page and the letter of support provided by the Department of Public Safety located on the Agenda Center. So Story County is also implementing what they're calling StoryCom, which is an upgrade to the land mobile radio system for emergency response personnel inside the county. This includes all the cities and the unincorporated area. So while the system is still in the planning process, I believe just last week the Board of Supervisors did commit money to that program, but staff has confirmed with the Sheriff's Office and the consultant that the proposed FirstNet system is not going to degrade any of the proposed radio system. So this is submitted by FTC Tower Company. These are the FirstNet sites in Story County. You can see the boundary of Story County here. There's several in Ames already, one Nevada, Colo, and then I guess down by Huxley. And the proposed location is in the northeast corner of the county. This is a search ring area provided by the applicant. It's a 3-mile diameter search ring for the area that would best be that would best work in the network to cover the most area. Here's the existing coverage of the FirstNet system. You can see the brighter green is areas that are covered, and then the aerial image there's areas that are not covered. So with the addition of this tower and this location, this is the proposed coverage area in kind of a tan there. So the proposed tower will be latticed, galvanized steel finish. The height will be 195 feet with a 4-foot lightning rod on the top. There will be fencing around the compound. It will be 6 feet tall, a chain link. The compound will be 75 by 75 feet. And then all other structures, including like an equipment building, will be located within that fenced compound. Here's the vicinity map. The city of Zeering, almost in the center there, 130th Street. Runs east-west, and then 720th Avenue runs north-south, and it's in the southwest corner of that intersection. Just looking at surrounding land use, all zoning, the subject property and all surrounding properties are zoned A1. The C2C future land use map designation of this area is agricultural conservation area. It's approximately 1 mile east of the city of Zeering. This slide is just looking at the distance between the proposed tower site and the dwelling to the north across 130th Street. It's about 600 feet, and then about 850 feet to the dwelling to the northwest. Here's a look at the site plan. This is 130th Street here and 720th Street here. These setbacks are measured from the right-of-way line. We're looking at 315 feet south of the 130th Street right-of-way, and then 312 feet west of the 720th Avenue right-of-way. Looking at the topography of the site, this is a higher area, which works well for the system. It increases the coverage. If a tower had to be taller due to a lower elevation, they would be required to, anything over 200 feet is required to be lit by FAA. So this is one advantage, is that this location allows the tower to be under that 200-foot threshold and not be lit. So here's the site plan, 720th Avenue here. There'll be an access drive. And an easement on the property. Here's a 75 by 75 foot fence compound, and there's the 100 by 100 foot lease area is just beyond the fence compound. So this is just a close up of the fence compound area. The tower will be almost directly in the middle of the compound. There'd be a gate on the east side here. And then the cover equipment building would be located here to the north. They are proposing landscaping. They're proposing to plant 11 American hazelnut and 22 New Jersey tree shrubs outside of the fence compound. The landscape area would also be seeded with a native grass mix. So here's some site photos. This is looking west toward the tower site from 720th Avenue. This is looking south along 720th Avenue. This is looking east across 720th Avenue from the tower site, and the farmstead to the east is here. This is looking north along 720th Avenue toward the intersection of 130th Street and 720th. And then looking east along 130th Street, north across 130th Street. The dwelling that I pointed out to the north, which is about 600 feet north of the tower site, is located here. Oops, sorry, went the wrong way. And there's the dwelling to the north. This is looking west along 130th Street, and then the farmstead to the north and west of the proposed tower site. This is looking south toward the tower site from 130th Street. The tower would be about here. So conditional use permits have standards of approval, so we'll talk through those. In terms of compatibility, communication towers are permitted as a conditional use in the A1 district through a conditional use permit. The property on which the tower is proposed to be constructed is 36 net acres and currently in agricultural row crop production. A majority of the surrounding land is also in agricultural row crop production. There's a farmstead under the same ownership as the proposed tower location, located 650 feet to the northwest, and that's to the property line. And then a single family dwelling located directly on the north side of 130th Street. All these properties are zoned A1 agriculture. The C2C plan does designate these as agricultural conservation area. There are several commercial wind energy conversion systems, the turbines out there. But these are approximately just less than about 2 miles to the south and east of the proposed tower location. They are visible in the distance, however, the tower will be approximately one half of the height of the existing turbines. In terms of transition, the tower location meets all the setback requirements and separation distance requirements per the supplemental standards for the conditional use permit for a communication tower. The applicant will be constructing a 6-foot tall chain link fence around the tower compound with vinyl privacy slats. Additionally, there'll be over 2,000 square feet of landscaping to the northwest and south of the fence compound. In terms of traffic, there will be a new access from 720th Avenue and will have to be created in accordance with our land development regulations. The access will need to be approved by the Story County Engineer. The drive will be 12 feet wide and 247 feet in length, beginning from the road right-of-way and ending at the east side of the tower compound. Within the 100 by 100 lease area, there will be gravel spaces for maintenance vehicle parking, both to the north and south of the entrance gate, which would allow maintenance vehicles to turn around and exit forward onto 720th Avenue. The traffic impact of the tower is expected to be minimal. Beyond construction, FTC would visit the site for maintenance purposes only. They're looking at just a few times a year. There may be other visits when new antennas are co-located on the tower as well. Parking and loading. During the construction of the communications tower, parking will take place on the subject property within the lease area and the ingress egress easement. There will be no parking or equipment storage in the right-of-way. Parking spaces, again, will be constructed on the east side of the fence compound for maintenance purposes. The only signage plan for this site is warning signage as required by the FCC and the FAA. No lighting is required by the FAA for this tower due to its height under 200 feet. And no lighting is planned to be added to the site. Looking at environmental protection, no excessive noise, vibration, dust, smoke, fumes, odor, glare, groundwater pollution, or other undesirable hazardous or nuisance conditions, including weeds, are anticipated from this proposed project. Story County Land Development Regulations do require an erosion control plan and a statement that the development site will incorporate best management practices outlined in the Iowa Stormwater Management Manual. We have not received this yet, but staff is recommending this as a condition of approval. So, analysis. If the board concludes that all the above development criteria will be met, it must recommend approval of the application unless it concludes that, if completed as proposed, there is a strong probability that the development will not adequately safeguard the health, safety, and general welfare of persons residing or working in adjoining or surrounding property. The tower will be built in compliance with our required setback requirements and setbacks from the adjacent property lines. No lighting is required. The tower will be seen by adjacent property owners. However, the planned project will improve the emergency communication and cell phone coverage for AT&T customers in the area. Number two is to impair an adequate supply, including quality, of light and air to surrounding properties. It will be a lattice-type tower that will have little to no impact on the supply of light and air to the surrounding properties. Again, the closest dwelling is between 500 and 600 feet to the north of the proposed tower location. Three is unduly increased congestion on the roads or the hazard from fire, flood, or similar dangers. Following the construction of the proposed tower, there's going to be little traffic to the site. It will include traffic for installation of new antennas and equipment maintenance. The applicant will be required to obtain a 911 address from the Planning and Development Department for the proposed tower. The site doesn't contain any FEMA-designated floodplain. Four, to diminish or impair established property values on adjoining or surrounding property. The Story County Assessor's Office raised no concerns with this item from review of the requested conditional use permit application. No impacts on property values are anticipated. The addition of the AT&T equipment will improve customer coverage in the area, which will be a benefit to nearby property owners. And the tower will provide for opportunities for up to two additional carriers to co-locate. 5 is not be in accord with the intent, purpose, and spirit of the land development regulations or the C2C plan. The C2C plan is oriented toward preserving the county's rural character and high-value agricultural land. The communication tower is located on row crop land, but will occupy a relatively small area of the parcel. The remainder of the parcel will continue to be farmed. One of the goals of the within the communications and public safety category of the C2C plan states support and maintain high-quality county facilities and services to meet the needs of residents. The proposed FirstNet system and the improved cell phone coverage in the area both support this goal. The proposed location of the tower provides optimal coverage in the area. The need for communications infrastructure expansion was identified as part of the public input section of the C2C plan as well. Poor wireless communication services were also noted as a weakness of Story County. On to the supplemental standards. A has to do with co-location. In order to provide the best coverage for the area, the antennas for the FirstNet system will need to be placed at an elevation of 190 feet. Within the search ring, there was one tower that was identified as being 195 feet. However, the maximum height of the antennas, the location that they could be placed on the tower was only at 170 feet. The radio frequency engineer stated that there are two other towers located outside but nearby the search ring area that were evaluated for potential co-location. Both of these towers were inadequate in terms of coverage. B is the separation from planned or existing residential properties. The proposed tower and lease area over 300 feet from the adjacent residential properties. The C2C future land use map does designate this area as agricultural conservation, and as such, no major residential development is anticipated in the area. The urban expansion area designated by the city of Zeering is located to the north of the city limits, west of Dakin's Lake. C is height. A statement from the radio frequency engineer was included with the application document stating that the 195-foot height is required to meet the coverage needs in the area. All setback requirements are met by the proposal. E is fencing. The fences proposed for the site will be, again, 6 feet tall, chain link fence, anti-climbing measures and devices. The fence will have barbed wire at the top. Additionally, climbing pegs will be removed from the lower portion of the tower to discourage climbing if someone did get into that compound. The lowest 6 feet of the tower will be screened in all directions with those vinyl slats. The northwest and south sides of the compound will also include landscaping. The tower will be a galvanized steel finish. The applicant did submit with the application materials, the FAA determination of no hazard to air navigation. Again, no lighting will be on the tower, and there will be no proposed signage. The applicant has submitted a statement that the proposed tower and facility will comply with all applicable local, state, and federal regulations. Obstruction of view, there are no adjacent publicly owned areas. The tower will be located about 315 feet south of the 130th Street right-of-way and 312 feet west of the 720th Avenue right-of-way. The submittal requirements were all met by the applicant. We do route this for interagency review. The Story County Sheriff's Office stated that there's nothing out of the ordinary with this planned tower or any of the equipment, and they don't anticipate any degradation of their proposed radio system that they're working on. Emergency management supports the project to enhance first responder communications. The engineering engineering department did say that a driveway permit is required for the access location. Planning and development Just asks a few general questions about the overall height of the tower with the lightning rod. We looked at the total impervious surface added to the site and discussed landscaping requirements. And then we did note that the 911 address will be required as to be submitted with the zoning permit for the tower. Moving on to comments from the general public, we do send notice within a quarter mile of the site, and that was sent on March 1st regarding the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting and then your meeting tonight. At the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting on March 6th, prior to the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting on March 6th, Planning and Development staff did receive a phone call from an adjacent property owner calling on behalf of his daughter who constructed the dwelling to the north of the proposed tower location. He had concerns about the impact of the proposed tower on the property values and the view from the property on the north side of 130th Street. At the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, the property owner of the dwelling to the north did speak with similar concerns. I believe they are here tonight, so I will let them speak further to their concerns. The property owner, though, I will say, did note the overall support of the FirstNet system in the area. Comments from the applicant. So yesterday, the applicant did provide an email to Story County Planning Development regarding House File 487, which was signed into law on Monday. And I provided you with a copy tonight. And so in summary, it's the law states that the county may not reject an application for the installation of a tower or transmission equipment in the unincorporated areas of a county with a population of less than 15,000, except for on property zoned and used exclusively for single-family residential use, or within a previously designated area of historical significance. The application would have to have written confirmation of the Statewide Interoperable Communications System Board and that the tower or transmission equipment is intended to be installed and used as a part of the state plan approved for the deployment of the nationwide public safety broadband network or radio access network. The subsection will be repealed in 2 years after its effective date. In terms of the applicability to Story County, I did inquire with the governor's office about whether that 15,000 threshold for the population was for the entire county or just the unincorporated areas. I have not heard back, but either way, I think it speaks to the importance of the FirstNet system and the support by the state. So looking at staff's recommendation, staff recommends approval of the proposed conditional use permit as put forth in CUP 0119 with the following conditions. The following items shall be submitted with the required zoning permit application. That erosion control plan that meets the requirements in Chapter 88 of our land development regulations. A statement that the development site will incorporate best management practices as outlined in the Iowa Stormwater Management Manual, and a structural analysis signed by a licensed engineer. Following discussion at the March 6th Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, specifically regarding the potential impact on nearby property values and the impact of the tower on the rural character of the area, the following motion was made by Commission Member Sherwood to deny the request put forth in CUP 0119. The motion was seconded by McBride, and there was a 2-2 vote on the motion, which really provided no recommendation to the Board of Adjustment. So a second motion was made by Commissioner Cable to follow staff's recommendation approval with the recommended conditions. This motion was seconded by Smith, and discussion took place about thinking about the greater good of the project in terms of the general public's benefit. The motion was passed 3-1. So your alternatives tonight our approval of the proposed communications tower without conditions, just as submitted, approval with the recommended conditions by staff, denial of the conditional use permit, or to remand it back to staff and the applicant for further review and to bring it back to you at a different meeting. And I can show the conditions one more time. Again, the conditions are the erosion control plan, the statement that best management practices for stormwater will be followed, and then that structural analysis signed by a licensed engineer be submitted.
Question. Given this piece of information, are hands tied? In other words, according to this, if I'm reading it correctly, it's a case that we can't reject it. We could probably approve it with the conditions you have.
But it does state a county with a population of less than 15,000. Again, Emily did inquire with regard to whether that is countywide population or the total population with cities included. It doesn't specify unincorporated, so I think it's likely not applicable. But again, I mean, it does point out the latter part of that does point out the support for the project that's being requested.
All right. Okay, thank you. Any questions for the staff? Who speaks for the applicant? Yes, sir. Any comments? Please state your name and address.
Rob Vieira, 5096 Maritime Way North, Plymouth, Minnesota, 55406. I will add about the state law that was passed, and when it talks about unincorporated area of the county, I believe it is an unincorporated project here. When we look for tower sites, I try to find the best location possible that meets the system. Engineers give me a search radius. I look for homes. I try to be away from homes. It doesn't always happen that way. This location worked great for the system. We have people kind of honeycomb that picture of the system. Yet the engineers love this area, and it fits perfectly with the system. And because I did a whole kind of analysis of the area, and this is the site they wanted here, so it's just ideal for the systems. I wasn't aware that Corey would object to this. He came last time. We spoke afterwards. I reached out to him as well, too. I felt bad, frankly. So what I did say to him is I can't move the location of a tower, but what I can do is switch it from a lattice-type three-legged design to a self-supported monopole type. This is a single steel-type monopole, so it's much smaller base. I think that helped a little bit, but So we talked a few times about this, but so that's the best I can do. I mean, this is a system, it's a federally authorized system approved by Congress, so it benefits the entire county. So, but again, if I could find a perfect place for this tower, nobody ever objected, it would be great, but I can't do that. If it were to go somewhere else, somebody else wouldn't want it there too, so it's kind of, I can never win with these things. But so I thought it was a good location, and the system, it works perfect for that. So, but we are willing to spend the money to do a different kind of design, which I think is less intrusive. Because again, a monopole design, not a three-legged type tower. So I guess your question should be right.
Thank you. Any questions?
Yeah, I've got a. So I notice that you're close to some of the windmills and stuff up there.
Yeah, there's a ton of those, the south and north. Actually.
And this can't be put on one of those.
No, they've got the blades and it's
right.
Not possible.
Interference.
That's outside the search area too. So. And okay. There's transmission poles along just close to Corey's house as well too. And there's structures everywhere there too. So actually, the blended I think fairly well to the area. There's already a lot of stuff in
the
area right now.
Right. Any other questions? Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Who speaks out against the property or whatever?
I'm Corey Purvis. I live at 12961 720th Avenue, the property right north. First of all, I want to state that my neighbor did mention that there would be a tower, going up. I didn't know exactly where. I knew it was going to go across the road. Across the road can go a few other areas than less than 200 yards from my house. And if you think of it, say 600 feet, we're 20 feet apart. Take that times 30. And we're that's how far the tower is going to be from looking out my window. Right to the, as was stated earlier, there's a honeycomb effect, but I think the previous slide you saw the whole search radius, which encompassed parts of Zering, a couple of miles to the south. I don't think it went much north or east of my property. Even moving it across the road to the east, that terrain is still another 600, 800 yards from where this tower would go. Same elevation, I believe. I haven't checked it. Out of sight, out of mind, I can't see it from our windows or sitting in our living room. That's the big thing. We've got six big picture windows. We look out, and yes, as stated at our last meeting, there are windmills. We built our house knowing there are windmills. Mile and a half, mile and three quarter, 2 miles from our property. I mean, that was, we knew we were going to be looking at that. We liked that scenery. Now, right across the road, I'm going to have a three-leg or mono tower, which is encased by a chain link fence with slats in it, with landscape, which with trees. And we talked, you know, we could change the trees or whatever goes around it. But still, I look out my window where we build our dream house, and I can see the whole river bottom. There's no obstruction. I've got one telephone pole. And that's one reason we put our power going underneath our yard. We paid the extra to trench it in, so we would have no obstruction seeing out our window. I understand this is important. We need this up there. But if you can honestly tell me, everybody has cell phones, you got your coverage. You go 1 mile this way, 1 mile that way. I mean, there is no perfect place. Yes, this might be the honeycomb, but you can't tell me another quarter mile, another 600 yards out of the view of my house that it's really going to make that big a difference. Hey, come on, we've all been there. You buy a cell phone provider, so you have adequate coverage, and you still drop phone calls. I mean, it's data, and data is important. I get that. But if you've got to put this structure in front of my house, can we just move it? And I'm not saying 5, 10, 20 miles. Can we at least research, find a little, work together just a little bit? And that's all I'm asking, because I think anybody in this room, everybody in this room, if you would work your butt off for 20, 30 years so you could build a dream place, not knowing, if there's a house going over there, I can't, I wouldn't want to stop that because I would want them to build their dream house there. Nobody stopped me, which they could have raised the case, but for a tower that's going to be an eyesore, why can't they move it? Why can't they do a little bit more research? And I know there's a code they showed earlier that had been filed before, but I think there's a little wiggle room. There's a wiggle room everywhere. And that's all I'm up here preaching. I don't want to look out my window every day seeing this. I would love to have it in the area. And yeah, they talked to, would it depreciate property value? Who knows? What if I have my house on the market for 6 months, for some reason we have to move? We don't want to move. What if we have to? And that one person is going to come by and said, well, no, there's a fence all around here. I mean, there's a tower in there. Never know what's going to sway everybody. Everybody can say, yeah, this or that. But in my heart, I've worked in the construction industry for 20 years, and I've done a lot of sharing, whether it's on highway projects or DOT projects in town or residential driveways. You know, I always work with the builder, with the owner, and I still do that. I wake up every day and do that. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Questions, board? Any further comments? Yes.
Lucy Ritland, I live at the property northwest of the site. I don't want to negate anything that Corey had to say. I did reach out to them and say that a tower company was looking at building a site there, and I didn't know at the time where it was going to be either. I've been in the Ferguson's house and looked out there, their big beautiful windows, and the house is turned at an angle to the road, and looking out the windows, it seemed to me it looked straight at our house. And like I said, I don't want to negate what you say, that the tower wouldn't also be in that line of vision. To speak for the vision across the valley, we built our house approximately 15 years ago, our dream home. We lived in Ruthie farm houses for 30 years and finally built our dream home. We could see 8 miles across the valley, and then the windmills came in. And they do block our vision. They really do. In the evening, we had a relaxing backyard, multi-level patios to look out across that valley and now see flashing red lights. But it's a fact of life. We didn't have a choice. We accept it and we go on. This is life. So, for what it's worth, when I have been looking out across, I have a couple hours away from home and back at least once a week, and have looked for cell towers to see how much they obstruct vision or what they look like, what their design is, since this option came up. And quite honestly, I have to look for a tower to find it. They don't have the flashing lights. They don't really obstruct vision. It's a line in the sky. I'm not happy that the purposes feel sad about this or feel that it's going to disrupt their life. We've seen our life change too, with a lot of windmills all the way around our house. None of them were there when we built our dream home. And they're big. They really are big and broad and solid. They're not steel that you can see through. So I really don't know what to say.
Thank you.
Questions?
Other comments?
Just to add a little bit, my name is Perry Ritland. I live at 7179 230th Street. I forgot where I lived there. I own the property where the supposed tower is going to go up. And when Rob contacted me last summer, you know, I had mixed emotions about it. I didn't care, but they put a lot of time and effort in AT&T trying to ferret out a spot that was right, had the right elevation, the right line of sight, access to fiber optics, and electricity. That's what you need to do. And I said, yeah, you know, see what you can do. And he picked it. I didn't know exactly where it was going to go either. But from my point of view, I have a cell signal because they got 3 towers in Zering. But I lived for 25 years down in section 25 of Lincoln Township, and there is no cell tower down there. There's no cell signal. So if you deny this project, you're denying people to the north, east, and southeast of me access to ambulance, police protection, and fire service. Because everybody's got a cell phone. They don't necessarily have a landline. So that's it for me. I'm doing it to help my neighbors. And if you got to look at the tower, so be it. That's the way I look at it. Any questions for me?
Questions?
Thank you.
Other comments? Not, then we'll close it and play debate. Questions, board?
Steve, can I just add a comment that stated earlier during our presentation about the countywide system that we're working on? That has not been approved for funding yet. That'll be before the board of supervisors, I think, in a week or two.
All right.
To discuss that. I just wanted to discuss that.
Thank you.
Can you explain how this differs from that, the other one that?
The interoperable communication system on the IDOT site?
Right, right.
Yeah, again, that's that system is like push-to-talk radio. So one person can send out their voice to other emergency responders. This system will allow data to be sent, so like cell phones could be used, images, like pictures could be sent, videos can be sent.
Text could be sent?
Yeah. Anything that happens via the cell data,
okay.
Right? It is owned by AT&T, so that will also increase their service. But the idea behind the FirstNet system is that in the event of emergency, AT&T will have the ability to prioritize those emergency responders who have signed up for this program.
So is
for
it,
use of the system.
Is it true that both of these serve the entire Story County area?
So the interoperable tower is connected. Testing my memory, but I think to like Marshalltown to the east, somewhere southwest of Story County. This is one of several antennas that are part of the FirstNet system. Again, I showed at the very beginning an aerial of Story County, and there were several equipment locations and Ames, and then near Colo. Nevada, sorry, let me pull it up here. So all the ones in blue are existing FirstNet, all the blue points here are existing FirstNet sites. So those are equipment that have already been located on a tower or an applicable location.
Our system will augment theirs, if that helps to explain it better.
So they can't be combined on the same tower then?
Well, we need these in different locations to shoot the coverage around.
It's, right.
We may share towers now, I guess I don't know, but. It's less dense.
Looks like there's the tower, there's one down just outside the border by Maxwell.
Oh, yep, that one, I believe that's under construction.
The one on 330?
Under construction, yeah. Down here?
I
gotta
go.
Yeah.
Or no?
No, this one, it's just right outside the square.
Oh, that blue one. East?
Yeah, go back to east, right there.
This?
No, down. Down, Maxwell. Yep,
here,
right
there.
There.
Okay, yep.
Thank you.
That's existing.
So you got that one. Let me look at the northwest corner, or northeast corner.
Right. No coverage.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yep.
Again, you can see the coverage in the area. Here's Ziering, Highway 65, I-35 here. There's a big hole. This will extend beyond the limits of Story County as well. to provide coverage in that Ziering area.
Why are there so many in the Ames area?
You've got more users, it's dense there, so you need more sites. This will cover a larger area, just the one site, because there's less users on it.
Show us our options again, please.
These are the options, again, approval with conditions, denial, or remand back to staff and the applicant for further review. The conditions proposed are the erosion control plan, the stormwater management statement, and then the structural analysis.
Any other questions, board?
Is there a slide that shows where the towers propose to go in relation to the houses that we've talked about?
This one.
Right there.
Okay, so.
So the towers approximately right here within a couple feet. I measured from the right-of-way line and then measured north. It's about 600 feet.
And is that your property, Mr. Purvis?
Yes, to the north.
To the north, okay. And would the setbacks be affected if it moved to the east?
There's a 300-foot setback from the right-of-way requirement.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. So it would have to move to the west if you wanted to change.
To the west, there's a drainage area.
It also moves down the slope, though, if it's on the west.
Yeah.
Right, yep.
But on the east side, it doesn't. If you flip on the other side of the road.
That owner doesn't want it on his property on that side, though. So.
The
Excuse
way?
Me?
That owner doesn't want it on his property on the east side of the road there. It's not. The owner there doesn't want the tower on his property.
So if it's a perfect spot for a tower, the owner has to want it on his property? Because you just pretty much said this is where you need to put it.
I called a bunch of people to see in the area right here and turned the analysis of the area. This is the location they wanted here.
They who wanted. You wanted?
My company wanted, yes.
Okay, so it wouldn't have mattered who owned that property. They wanted to put the tower there.
It was a location, yes.
So would you give the property owner the option to put it there?
I'm going to follow it, I guess.
If let's say everybody up here said, no, I don't want the tower, what would you have done then?
You don't have coverage then, if that's what happens.
Okay, I'll tell you what, fellas. I think from what we've kind of closed the meeting for discussion, from the location, the engineers, people, that, as I see it, they've identified it. I have empathy for your situation. I'm leaning a little bit myself towards it kind of for the greater good, because the cell coverage, as I see it out there, yeah, I've been out in there, and it's weak. But, you know, that's just my opinion. The board has to make their decision on this. I'm almost thinking that, though I admit, Jerry, you haven't gotten heard back from Des Moines, we may not have a choice here either way, depending on who interprets the law, which is typical of interpretation. So I guess for the point, board, any further questions? Entertain a motion.
I would move that we accept number two, which would be the Story County Board of Adjustments, with the conditions, the CUP 01-19.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
We have a motion out of Brecky, second out of Neubauer. Roll call vote, please.
Brecky.
Aye.
Neubauer.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
Scarlett.
No.
Motion passed. Okay. Moving on. Hearing any other comments, staff?
Just have two things for you. At the April Board of Adjustment meeting, we'll have one conditional use permit. That's the Hickory Grove Bathhouse. They're proposing to build a brand new structure on the east side of the lake and take out the existing building there. So it'll be new construction. Our ordinance requires a project that involves the county. In this case, it's the Story County Conservation Board that's proposing to do this, to submit a conditional use permit. It'll first go to Planning and Zoning Commission, so you'll have a recommendation from them. So that'll be before you. And I wanted to share with you our sad news that we received on Monday, that Emily is resigning. She took a position in Germantown, village of Germantown in Wisconsin.
Okay.
Her last day is the 12th of April, and we're going to miss her a great deal. So I wanted to share that with you. This will be the last time that you'll likely see her.
Where's Germantown located in Wisconsin?
It's a little north of Milwaukee, maybe 30-35 minutes.
Near the lake?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the east side of Wisconsin.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Nice.
Good.
Yeah.
She's going back home. So she'll be missed.
Yes.
Okay. So you're going to be advertising for replacements.
We've already started that process, unfortunately, but so we posted.
Okay. Any other business to come before the board? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Might be out of order. You shut me down, but they talked about the tripod versus a monopole. Will that just be decided amongst the, or it will be what it states? That
preferably it should have come up at the meeting. That wasn't a part of, I mean, it was a part of what was provided by the applicant, but
proposals for a
lattice-type
tower.
Right.
So that'd be a separate, different permit.
Well, I mean, I think ultimately it'd come down to an administrative decision, because what got approved was a tower 185 feet in height at that location. If they decide to go with a monopole, it's still it would be a maximum of 185 feet,
mm-hmm.
probably narrower. To be honest with you, I don't know if it would. I don't know that I would decide that it would come back, because it's still a tower at that location, at that height.
Feels like if I wasn't living there, it would be a cleaner look to have just.
But I think that's what they're trying to do.
Monopole than a lattice.
Like the applicant did say, it is a substantial increase in cost project to do a monopole than a lattice type.
Could we have imposed a condition of some kind that would have pushed in that direction?
It could have been a part of your discussion and ultimately action, but I think, hearing from the applicant, I don't know that that would have provided the relief that he was looking for. I don't want to speak for him. There was at least one call, a couple calls to the property owner to the north with the applicant, throwing that out there as an option, because they didn't think that they could shift it. Because again, the grade drops, mm-hmm. and it is all about, they are a pretty tight zone. And when you start moving things around, you're losing your full ability. Plus they want to be able to co-locate to other carriers. This is really an AT&T project. We want to be able to open it up to other cell phone carriers that have interest in providing service to that area. So it's got to be at an elevation that's going to provide the maximum ability to, for them to provide the coverage.
Again, moving it to the west or putting it at a lower elevation would have required the tower to be taller, which would have gone over the 200-foot threshold for lighting on the tower. So I think one of the good things is that the tower's not going to be lit.
Yeah.
Could it have been moved closer to the road and violated the setback? I assume that that was part of the application.
Maybe that could have been a variance request in addition to a conditional use permit, certainly.
But then if you move it closer, don't you run into the fall zone that we've heard about when we talked about the wind turbines?
Mm-hmm. Oh, because right. If the tower is too close, okay.
Yeah.
Some ordinances, not Story counties, but some ordinances allow for an engineered statement that's signed with a seal that identifies that given the proposed structure with a given wind load of whatever it is, the tower will fall within a certain radius. And some ordinances allow that as an option in addition to requiring a certain setback based on its height. With Mother Nature, I don't know how they can do that.
I think a tornado could challenge the fall zone.
Yeah.
Because you have those antennas, they're several hundred pounds, and if it does, fall onto itself, it might throw something, or if it does fall, you get movement after it hits. So.
Right.
To put that in a letter, I'm glad, yeah. I've seen that, but we don't have that.
Well, like I said, I have empathy for the customer, but I also, anymore, the way we're living on cell phones, all of us, and looking at the few towers that were out there in the Northwest, my experience is these engineers, they don't just go out and kind of put them willy-nilly. They try to find the best location for the signal. So.
The applicant did indicate that their company obviously would prefer to co-locate, but they felt that spending the additional dollars to build a new tower was the way they had to go to get the best coverage.
They'll tell you that they don't want to go through a siting process. They don't want to have to do this because it's easier just to work with the tower owner and get the permits and meet the local requirements and then get to their project boss. There's more involved.
So is AT&T are they like the main carrier for this FirstNet?
Right. So AT&T will, the AT&T equipment and the FirstNet equipment are the same equipment. What this new equipment allows them to do again is, obviously in an emergency situation, the system is overwhelmed. There's too many people trying to reach out, too many people trying to come or reach someone that's in that area. So the system, the new equipment will allow AT&T to, again, prioritize the emergency response. It essentially, there's too many people trying to use the network, and it basically makes it not work.
So basically, if we have a catastrophe, the average person's phone won't work anyways.
Probably not for a while. So that, because you want the first responders to be able to do their thing and secure and do whatever
they
need to do.
It allows them, to control exactly who's using the system, I guess, during that time.
Mm-hmm. So right now, you don't have that flexibility. They could get jammed up and not be able to be as effective as
anything. Well, I think they've proven in a situation like in Marshalltown, they have a disaster like that and everything gets jammed up on the cell because people are trying to call everybody else. And anything else?
Not now. I'll move for adjournment. Or I'll hear a movement for adjournment.
I'll make a motion we adjourn.
So here's a second. Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.